Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. We've got the U.S. losing ground while the people push back against the surveillance state. But first, as the 14th anniversary approaches, U.S. military cancels hearings for 9/11 suspects. We'll grab this from Reuters. James, the U.S. military has canceled a pretrial hearing for suspects in the 9/11 attacks, a military spokesman said this past Sunday, and another setback for the government in its efforts to try the five men being held at Guantanamo. A Defense Department spokesman said the hearing, originally scheduled for August 24th through September 4th, was canceled by the military judge. Quote, the judge cited issues that remain unresolved with regard to a claimed defense counsel conflict of interest, said Commander Gary Ross. This news first reported by ABC News. Defense attorneys for KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his four alleged co-conspirators raised concerns in 2014 that they were being spied on by the FBI. They said that created kind of a conflict of interest between them and their clients. Judge James Paul, an Army colonel, ruled in July that no conflict of interest arose for defense attorneys. The allegations have further delayed a complex, slow-moving case, one of a number being held at the facility at the Guantanamo Naval Base in now our new friends Cuba, where suspects in the post-9/11 war against terrorism are detained. James, in a funny sidebar, I like that Reuters has to put war against terrorism in quotes because we've sent that kind of down the memory hole. If you recall, Obama said, oh, well, we don't call it the war on terror anymore. So they even have to sort of remind you, oh, that used to be a thing. We've sort of euphemistically changed the battles, as we constantly do, and changed the language as well. This is my sidebar over. Critics of the military trials in Guantanamo have said the inability of the government to try the defendants more than a decade after their capture is one of the clearest signs of the failure of the process. The five defendants who were captured in 2002 and 2003 could be put to death if convicted of key roles in the 9/11 attacks. So, James, this goes to the heart of the story of what brought you and I to this point, and that's the truth of and lies about 9/11. So what do we make of this new story?
Well, this article calls it the failure of the process to try anyone for any of these crimes more than a decade and a half almost after the events took place. This isn't a failure of the process. This is the process working exactly as it's supposed to, because we know there is never going to be anything resembling a real trial for any of these people because they couldn't possibly do one. All they can do is put together some sort of kangaroo court. We know that the 9/11 Commission report was based on torture testimony extracted through ridiculous torture techniques, including Abu Zubaydah being waterboarded 83 times in a month, deprived of sleep for 180 hours at a time, confined in a coffin-like box. KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind A to Z of 9/11, quote-unquote, who confessed to wanting to bomb the Plaza Bank building in Washington State, which wasn't constructed for 4 years after he was captured, probably confessed to wanting to kill the Tooth Bunny as well. The Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy, both of them together, the Tooth Bunny maybe. All of this just ridiculous nonsense that was extracted through torture, and then the tapes of the torture that the a judge had ordered the CIA to hand over to the 9/11 Commission, they destroyed them instead. No one's going to pay any jail time for that. No one's ever going to account for that because the CIA can do whatever the hell they want. It is ridiculous, top to bottom, A to Z, it is ridiculous. And the fact that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still just referred to as, oh, he's the 9/11 mastermind, there's no problem at all about this. It just goes to show the depravity of the entire situation and the fact that it is based on lies. And oh, I forgot one of the best parts. KSM's children, of course, were also abducted and tortured themselves, including with the use of insects to try to find out where KSM was hiding. So just, I mean, the utter depravity of what was done in order to extract this phony information, which the 9/11 Commission report was based on, is the real elephant in the living room here, and that's why there will never ever be a real trial. At the very best, they'll put together some sort of kangaroo court, and it's only a question of when and how that comes together, but it ain't gonna be on the 14th anniversary.
James, really the only other thing I see kind of buzzing around as again the 14th anniversary approaches, and I don't think there's really, as the years go by, the interest sort of lessens. The only other thing I see going on in the build-up to the 14th anniversary is there's still this kind of battle over the 28 pages from the 9/11 omission report, and it's got different people battling against each other, and I'll include a link to that story as we include links to everything we cite here. And this is the 237th episode of New World Next Week, so we'll move, James, to our second story this week, a geopolitical update that's super important considering Djibouti is the only permanent military base the U.S. has or had in Africa. Take this from Press TV. China to take over strategic U.S. military base in Djibouti. The tiny African state of Djibouti has reportedly ordered the U.S. to vacate its secondary Obak military base in the nation in a bid to turn over the installation to Chinese military and 10,000 troops, raising major concerns in D.C., which holds the largest military base in Djibouti, which is called Camp Limonier. Quote, the announcement, made the day after U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry visited Djibouti last May, is deeply worrying for Pax Americana, for it comes on top of a major package of economic investments made by China that has Djiboutian President Guelleh openly talking about how important his new friends in Asia are. That comes from a great piece on Counterpunch, published this past Monday. So, according to this report, the U.S. is about to lose one of its military bases in Djibouti, home to America's largest permanent military installation in Africa that includes 4,000 troops and a fleet of U.S. assassination drones that run bombing missions in regional Muslim countries like Yemen and Somalia as part of Washington's official targeted killing program. The Horn of Africa nation, strategically located in the critical entrance from the Indian Ocean to the Red Sea, lies at the gateway to the busy Suez Canal and provides a port to neighboring Ethiopia. The report further points out that the U.S. Defense Department says Djibouti, the U.S. Defense Department pays Djibouti $63 million a year for the use of the drone base Camp Limonier, which is one of the largest drone bases in the world. China came along with a much more generous chunk of change, and this report on counterpunch.org, written by Thomas Mountain, he breaks it down pretty well, leading up to the illogical conclusion that we're going to start to hear the chatter, threataganda, that Djibouti, they violate human rights and they need regime change and all that, yada, yada. So, James, this is probably an important story, as you and I think have been kind of talking about Africa, and perhaps more importantly, AFRICOM, for many, many years here.
Exactly right. AFRICOM, of course, wants to get more boots on the ground in Africa and is having a hard time doing so because China is spending the infrastructure money that a lot of these governments are using to their own advantage, and so it's win-win for all of them. For example, the $3 billion railway that that China has helped construct between Ethiopia and Djibouti in order to facilitate their removal of goods from the African continent towards China and out to the port so they can ship them up to China. So this is, I think, part of the incredibly important part of the 2D chess game that's taking place right now. I think there's a lot of movement that's possible in Africa, specifically with regards to the U.S.-China rivalry or the U.S.-China rivalry that's taking place on the 2D chessboard. I think we're going to see a lot of movement like this one. And that's why I think we have to keep our eye on Africa and what's going on there right now. And I think people should be taking a look at the reporting of people like Thomas Mountain, who have done some, I think, some really good reports on this. And expect more on this in the future. I mean, obviously, I don't think this is just going to rest here. The U.S. still has some puppet dictators up their sleeves that they can pull some strings on in the African continent to try to block what China's doing, etc., etc. So as I say, I think this is one of the most kinetic parts of the 2D chessboard right now, and there's going to be a lot more movement on this in the near future.
So James, finally, our third segment this week. Some good news next week about how the people are fighting back high-tech and low-tech style against the surveillance state and their bankers, who always work hand-in-hand with them. We'll take a story from the Washington Post. Germans so scared of surveillance, they microwave their ID cards, and they snarkily note, when it comes to privacy, Germans can't take a joke. After it was revealed that the U.S. NSA had intercepted calls in Germany, sales of old-school typewriters skyrocketed, reportedly, in Germany. So it's not only American surveillance that Germans are concerned about. However, on Tuesday, a 29-year-old man was arrested at Frankfurt Airport after authorities noticed he had microwaved his German identification card, this coming from the Deutsche Press Agency. According to a police statement, the man was concerned that his privacy might be violated, by the microchip that has been embedded in all German IDs since 2010. The band now faces either a fine or time in jail for the offense of illegally modifying official documents. According to German law, ID documents are state property. Skepticism of state authorities is deeply entrenched in German society. In June, activists inaugurated an Edward Snowden Square in the East German city of Dresden after Snowden revealed that the NSA had spied on German telecommunications data 2 years ago, and many Germans suspect their own intelligence services to have collaborated with their American counterparts. Now, James, it's a double shot of good news. I'll throw it back to you as I get to the other bit of good news we'll cover this week. As you, I mean, we've seen, and we can actually show you, there's YouTube videos of Germans microwaving their ID cards, and I think we've seen similar things of Americans doing that to their own passports as well, James.
And as we should. I mean, obviously, tampering with this kind of nonsense and privacy invasion garbage is, well, not a bad idea, I would say. But yes, it's important to remember also that there are low-tech and no-tech alternatives to these things. Just because we have these computers doesn't mean we have to use them for everything we do. And if you do have something that's exceptionally important and secretive and you want to keep hidden, well, maybe you should use typewriters or write it out by hand. Can you imagine actually writing things down with a pen on paper? When was the last time you did that? I mean, exactly. So there are low-tech and no-tech alternatives as well that we have to keep in mind, and I think that is part of the good news, that people are being pushed to the point where they actually think about this. I think that's at least half of the battle, is to get people to even just consider the fact that these privacy invasions are ridiculous and need to be fought back against in some manner.
So, James, the second part of good news next week's, it comes from a website called Cointelegraph, which I kind of read as Cointelegraph at first, but we'll leave that there. Greece to receive 1,000 Bitcoin ATMs as trust in banks long gone. Bitcoin service provider and exchange Qubits partnered with Greek Bitcoin exchange BTC Greece to install 1,000 Bitcoin ATMs and help small and medium-sized businesses move money. They say, quote, "We are creating the ecosystem of Bitcoin and blockchain solutions in the Greek market that will include the rollout of 1,000 ATMs and solutions for the e-commerce and tourism industry. Partnering with best-of-breed companies in the Bitcoin space will enable us to provide the Greeks with solutions that will ease the difficulties of the capital controls." So, James, we've been following the situation in Greece pretty closely week in, week out here on New World Next Week. And I think it was even just last week or the week before that we discussed sort of the barter economy that's sprung up in Greece due to a lot of these situations, right?
Exactly right. And it's always good to see more alternatives popping up, because I just did an article a couple of days ago that people can see on my site where I was talking about the possibility of Greek bail-in, and the ECB is supposedly completely ruled out the possibility of depositor bail-in, so that there won't be a Cyprus-style, you know, bank holiday and suddenly you find anything over 100,000 euros missing from your account. They've supposedly specifically excluded that from this new bailout package that Greece has just secured. But as Zero Hedge points out, the actual directive that is going into place on January 1st, 2016, it's an EU-wide directive that says that anything over 100,000 euros will not be secured anywhere in the Eurozone. So I don't know. I think depositor bail-in is still on the table. Regardless, we know that there are capital controls in place right now. Anyone who has any significant amount of money in a Greek bank is just ridiculous, crazy at this point. Get the money that you can out of there and get it into alternatives, whether that be alternative exchanges, accounts in foreign currencies in foreign countries, gold, silver, precious metals, Bitcoin. Absolutely any way that you can get it out of the banking system in Greece is probably for the best. And the Greek don't need to be told that at this point. The Greek people know this.
James, I'm seeing a bunch of chatter about a global market crash mayhem, as I think we've seen sort of real and imagined fear-mongering about a market crash even coming in September. So we'll include a link to that, which is not good news. But there are a couple of hashtag good news next week updates. Kellogg's to dump artificial ingredients from all their cereals by 2018, which doesn't mean you should eat that mass processed food. It's good news because it shows these are the ways that we have been winning, James. Another note, a petition to arrest Netanyahu in London in October, I believe, has, at the last time I looked at it, 70 plus thousand signatures. It's going on in the UK, and much like we kind of have here in the States, if it hits this, you know, magical 100,000 threshold, I think Parliament actually has to address it, at which point they'll say, we're not going to do that. But again, ways that we're sort of forcing their hand and showing how tyrannical they have really become. And we've been giving Good News Next Week updates in every New World Next Week episode in 2015. So I think, James, that's a great way we kind of keep doing sort of positive and solution-oriented things. And we'll ask that people submit those stories using hashtag Good News Next Week. And James, I'll just close out with a couple of New World Next Week updates of stories that we have been following and some of our best submitters of stories have been following. Dassault Theory has been following the Tianjin blast as lots and lots of questions start to build up, and China even shutting down websites because of the fear-mongering and rumors connected to Tianjin blast. G.J. Salisbury notes, broadcasters have been busted for repeatedly breaching the Ofcom code over propaganda content. James, this is where a years-long investigative piece by the UK Independent shows that international broadcasters, BBC, CNN, CNNBC, repeatedly broke the Ofcom code by screening programs funded by foreign governments, charities, and NGOs, and never really telling you any of that. Google gets into the eugenics, even more into the eugenics game, I suppose, by creating GM mosquitoes to fight tropical disease. They've probably been hanging out with Bill Gates. The U.S. FDA approves OxyContin for children. The Milwaukee Police Department is going to equip their patrol cars with cannons that shoot GPS projectiles. No search warrant needed. And Russian scientists create self-educating artificial brain. And James, I think we'll just keep working on our self-educating organic brains here at New World Next Week.
Let's do it. And not all happy news updates, but at any rate, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world right now, and we're just scratching the surface every week. If you want to contribute to the conversation, hashtag New World Next Week for any updates that or news stories that are on your news radar, or of course, Good News Next Week, always appreciated too. James, thank you again for rounding up these stories.
Thanks, buddy.